You ever killed anyone?
No.
You can get touchy-feely.
Touchy-feely?
Emotional, not fun. A lot of fuss. They cry, they plead, they beg, they piss themselves, they call for their mothers. It gets embarrassing. I like to kill them softly. From a distance.
I am the walrus.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie!
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Do something about this immediately! 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 Harumph! 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 Harumph!
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Doga! 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 Doga!
Listening to Cinema Frespocuso.
Welcome to episode 115 of Cinema Crespodiso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, once again hanging out in Crespo's. Let's take that back, rewind it, try one more time. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Welcome to Crespodiso Studio 3.0, hanging out with. This guy drinking. What's he drinking now? What's this? Is a seasonal collection first peach ale. Drusa Cogburn with the peach ale.
Yes, Blue Moon.
Blue Moon peach.
It's a wheat beer that's, you know, kind of tastes like peaches.
Mm-hmm. Then you just have some braised peaches.
Not braised, poached.
Poached peaches. And now.
Not peaches. They were pears.
Oh, so it's totally different. Never mind.
Not braised peaches. Poached pears.
Not braised peaches.
Poached pears.
Sure,
is that the name of the episode?
I don't know. It's kind of long. Not braised peaches, poached pears. That's a little long, but we might make it work. We're hanging out here. It's a wonderful. It's actually Palm Sunday. So
is it?
Yes. So to all you. Palm Sundayers?
Ash Wednesday's coming up next.
No, Ash Wednesday passed. Ash Wednesday was like 40 days ago.
Oh, son of a bitch.
That was the day after Mardi Gras. Welcome to Religion Cast. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Hanging out with Drusa Cogburn. That was the beginning of Lent. 40 days ago, it was Ash Wednesday. Now it's Palm Sunday, which means Good Friday's come up on Friday.
Okay, good
which
Friday.
Is awesome because some offices let out early. Wink, like wink, yours. Nudge, nudge. And then Easter Sunday's coming up. So
sweet.
Yes.
Zombie Jesus Day.
Yes, Zombie Jesus. Leave it to Drew to bring the respect. We have with us 3-time guest from the show. Forget that, your radio. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself. Go ahead, sir.
Praise the Lord, Saints. It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff, a.k.a. Two Watches at a Time, so you know what time it is, a.k.a. the Foodinati, a.k.a. if it's free, it's for me.
That's what I'm talking about. My boy Anthony Davis. Anthony, how you doing, dude?
Pretty good. Swelling well.
Thanks for coming out, man. What juice are you drinking? Juice bar? What is this stuff?
Oh, I got the cold-pressed carrot juice with a touch of mint and a few other vegetable goodies.
Was that on the, like, is that a drink that they have? Or did you see it? Were you like, give me some carrots, throw in some mint, did you tell them what to do?
Oh, this one is a
customized?
Customized. They have, like, a set menu, then you can do your little thing to mix them up if you want.
Man, juicing. This guy's peaching. You're juicing. I got me some Yingling. Someone's doing it wrong.
Well
see, it's up to you to decide, listeners. It's up to you.
He's got fruit, you've got beer, I've got both.
So you're saying you're the perfect combination of the two? Is that what's going on?
That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Not Braised Peaches.
Correct.
Poached pears.
Yes.
That's a tough one. That's like a warm them up, like unique New York.
Yes.
Braised peaches, poached pears. Braised peaches, poached pears. Mm-hmm. Now you try it. Go ahead.
Braised peaches, poached pears.
Anthony?
Braised peaches,
Irish wristwatch. All up on you. Okay. This show has gone off the rails. We haven't even started. Thanks for downloading. We appreciate it. This is your first time we talk about movies. Usually.
Most of the time.
I know you can't tell by the conversation so far, but we do talk about movies. And I guarantee you we will in this episode. Go to chriscrespo.com to check out all the back episodes of Cinema Crespo. And if you listen to iTunes, rate us and review us because that helps. Please. All right. I don't know why we're even fool around anymore. It's time for Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, so let's go ahead and get that started.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
You can check out every Netflix Instant Pick of the Week at chriscrespo.com. Anthony just used a Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. Drewster Cogburn corroborates it's good to go. Please, sir. What are we watching this week on a Netflix Instant?
The Master.
Oh, shit.
It's a weird movie, Chris.
We're getting arty here, folks. I already apologize to some of you. I already apologize, but this is a P.T. Anderson movie, guided There Will Be Blood. It's a movie directly after There Will Be Blood, as a matter of fact. He also did Boogie Nights and Magnolia. I mean, the guy makes some crazy movies, right? Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
All of his movies, even ones like that, are just a little weird and art housey, right? The Master is like the most arty of all of them. And it's kind of it's like a veiled take on Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard, the guy who started Scientology. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays this very charismatic leader of a cult-like group. They're not Scientologists. They call them something else. You know, all the names are changing, you know, because no one wants to get sued. And then Joaquin Phoenix plays this crazy guy who mentally ill, for sure.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And definitely an alcoholic, but the type of alcoholic who, like, he'll go into the supply closet and mix in the turpentine and, you know, all the chemicals, and he'll mix it up with, and he'll fucking mash up some, like, lime and squeeze it in there, and he'll drink it. And then he'll serve it to people, like, in flasks without telling them what it is, and they just assume it's liquor.
They just get wasted.
Get some people sick. It's crazy. It's a crazy movie.
He does some other weird things, too.
They all do crazy. Both of them, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix, do weird things, but in different type of weird things.
The scene on the beach.
The scene on the beach at the beginning.
Weird.
Yeah, when he's really weird in the Navy or whatever. He builds a group of Navy guys build, like, a sandcastle. They build a sand woman, like a big naked sand woman on the beach. And then he starts, like, fingering the sand woman. And then he dry humps it. And then he, like, and licks its sand nipples while the other guys sit there and, like, watch and get weirded out. And then he just gets up and, like, walks down to the shoreline and then starts jacking off into the water. And everyone else, like, walks away.
It's really weird.
That's the first 2 minutes of the movie, yeah. Dude.
Wow.
Yeah, uh-huh. That has nothing to do with the Scientology stuff.
Nope. That just
lets you know that this guy, the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie is letting you know how fucked up Joaquin Phoenix's character is.
Yeah.
And then he meets the Scientology-like group, joins them. Shit gets fucking weird. But it's an arty movie, dude.
It's really interesting.
It is very interesting, but it's not for everyone.
No, especially at 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it's a long time. Oh, wow. Yeah, and you feel those 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, you feel. Minutes. Oh, yeah.
Not a lot of car chases in this one.
No, dude. Lots of dialogue. Yeah. Lots.
I tell everybody about my Scientology experiment.
What's your Scientology experiment?
You know, I like to check a place out before I have an opinion about it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So me and my boy, we went into a Scientology church, and we was like, we want to know everything about you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they took us, first they took us to this room. They had a door, like it was like in a bank, the big, thick doors.
Like a vault door.
Like a vault door.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, come in this room. And whoa. I'm like, oh no.
Here we go.
And there was a screen in there. So we went in, it was just me and him, but a bunch of chairs, and they closed the door, boom. And you heard a lock, like, what is this? And they put this movie on. I thought we was gonna get, like, brainwashed.
Yeah, yeah. The programming
and,
you.
Yeah, it was weird. Like the movie they showed us.
What was the movie about? Was it about, like, the not about their beliefs, right? With the Thetans. That's what you learn all the way at the top.
It was about like oh, let's say you're having a bad day at work.
Mm-hmm.
Just take some time and relax. Don't get angry. And it would show people, like, mad, then show them, like, meditating and, like, chill yourself out.
Oh, so being, you know, there's this documentary that's airing on HBO tonight called Going Clear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you're describing, is that whole concept of, like, clearing your mind and like, taking yourself out of the moment to realize all your anxieties and fears are all made up and shit like that.
And then they wouldn't give us, they was like, and my boy's, like, the type, he's prying, like, real aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, no, if you want to know more, buy this book.
Yes.
They kept trying to sell us the book.
Yeah,
and my boy was like, if I go to a church, they just hand me the Bible for free. I'm like, chill out.
He's right, though. Yeah. That's funny.
It was creepy. I ain't gonna lie. It was real creepy.
Man, they locked you in there. Like, watch this movie.
Watch it now.
Keep your eyes open at all times.
And all the females were, like, supermodels.
Oh, yeah.
And they all, like, wore the same thing. They had this crazy smile on their face.
Stepford Wives type shit. Man, that's crazy. Weird. Where was that? Was that around here?
It was in New York.
In New York, of course. In New York. New York, LA, the big cities. That's where they're set up. Oh, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. I don't think there's anything like that in town. Is there, Drew?
Maybe. There might be.
Maybe.
There's a Church of Satan in town, so.
We can go check out that one, see what movies they're showing. You walk in, there's like, here's Bad Boys 2. This is all you need.
Yeah.
We don't have anything special. This is the kind of things we do here at the Church of Satan. That'd be weird if they wanted to sponsor like an episode of the show. Like, Mom, I mean, you know, they're cool paying us, you know. It's just the Church of Satan.
I wouldn't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do like satire, Mom. Yeah,
exactly. I mean,
but we'll really take their money.
The same church is, because, you know, freedom of religion and whatnot, there's apparently some church that wants to give out free religious material to elementary students.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So, you know, freedom of religion, everything, Church of Satan wants to get into it, so they made themselves a children's book for Orange County students that they're going to disseminate at some point in time.
Like coloring books and stuff.
I saw it. I read it. I have it on PDF. It's not half bad. I mean, it's an actual, like, coloring book.
Yeah.
And it's not.
But they have you painting pictures of, like, Cthulhu and shit.
No.
Winged demons like blowing fire on cherubs.
I think there's a Baphomet in there somewhere.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I mean, it's, you know, they just promote, you know, the power of the self.
Oh, true. So, okay, power of self.
Yeah,
the power of one. It's like, yeah, fuck all you other guys. Very Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand. How do you say that?
I don't know.
I've only seen it written down. Okay, let's get into the box office recap. Drew, do you have the movies that we've seen? Because I guarantee you, I haven't checked.
They're both on there.
But I'm sure they're not in the top five.
One of them is very, very low. The other one is number five.
Number what? Get out of here. All right. Well, I guess we're starting with that low one. Here we go.
Coming at number 41 this week.
God damn.
Wild Tales. All right. Had a weekend gross of $27,000, total of $1.5 million.
How many screens? Let me guess. 24 screens.
It's on 116 right now.
116 screens. Okay. And one of them was here at the Enzian Theater.
It added 35 this week.
And just went up. Well, Wild Tales, Argentinian film that's South America for you idiots listening. We still love you, though. Keep listening. We appreciate it. Six unrelated stories. The only thing connecting each story is the theme of revenge.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's it. So it's an anthology movie.
Not necessarily revenge, just craziness and violence. The one at the end didn't really have that much to do with revenge.
Yeah, it did. There was revenge sex. And...
Oh, okay, no, the one before that, the one with the car crash. There's no revenge there.
That's true. I don't want to get too many details about it. Yeah. Start talking about details about one story. Let's talk about the movie overall in general. No spoilers. Wild Tales, dude, it's a pretty crazy movie, right?
It is. Yes, 100%.
And it's funny how the six stories, right? Where the first story is maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's a pre-credit story.
One of the most interesting ones, though.
Yeah, yeah, and also the timing of it.
Yeah.
With what's happening in the news, let's just go ahead and say real quick the stuff. Because they even showed it in the trailer.
Yeah, they do.
In the trailer, which is, I found it to be a bummer because it gave away the ending of that story in the trailer. But anyway, the movie starts with a dude getting ready to crash a plane full of people. And like just a week ago, that German guy crashed that German Wings plane into the Alps, killing 150 people. Yeah. And it turns out that he did it on purpose. So when
Same thing kind of going on.
So when the movie started here and it started with that, I was like, ooh, that's some timing.
Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, is media influential like that? Did he see this movie? It's played in festivals since last year. It's been playing.
Oh, wow.
You know, he might have had a chance to see it at some point. You know, who knows? Maybe he was a movie guy, really interested in South American film. Might be an Argentinian film buff. You never know. Got to look into that, right? Yeah. Check out his DVD. See if he has a bootleg copy of Wild Tales in there. And you can see that he watched the first scene over and over and over and over.
And we're like, oh.
I'm just saying it's pretty.
It's possible. It's not probable. Possible, though.
Well, you know, Woody Harrelson says a natural born killer is media is like a, it's like weather. Mm-hmm. You know, you just put it out there. And anyway.
Mm.
Creep me out when that happened. But the rest of the stories, nothing to do with that one. All different things.
Lots of revenge, lots of violence.
So because of that, it's like they're all pretty short and self-contained.
Yeah.
So they get into the shit right away on each story. You're like, oh, this is crazy. And some of them like get fucking crazy.
Really crazy. Yeah.
They get really crazy, like over the top. And then when it's over, you're like, holy shit. And then it starts the next one. Before you know it, that one starts going off the rails. You're like, what the fuck is going on? It's a good
It's movie. Fun.
It's good. Mm. I
enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it's not like, I mean, is it a deep movie? Is it profound? I don't know.
No.
You know, I did some reading how apparently in Argentina, there's, you know, just like any other country, political, government strife, a lot of corruption going on over there. Recently, this guy, this lawyer, like a government prosecutor, was about to bring charges against the president. The day he was about to announce his charges, he was murdered.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, we don't know who. We don't know
yeah,
who.
Yeah, sure, we don't. Right?
The people, I guess their presidents, they've been elected, quote elected. They've been in power over there for like the last over a decade, and they do a lot of the funding of movies in their country. So none of their art down there can be outright against the government mm-hmm. or against the people in charge. So there's readings of this movie about how, you know, there's a lot of things about bureaucracy.
Yeah,
like the one whole thing starts with a guy who his car gets towed, and it wasn't in a. In a no parking zone, but they towed it anyway and gave him a ticket. So he keeps telling them, he's like, listen, it wasn't a no parking zone. It wasn't marked. Like, listen, here's a ticket. The ticket says
it was there. You can dispute it later.
Yeah. But he can't dispute it. He keeps trying to dispute it. They're like, no, you just got to pay and move on. You know? Yeah. It's fucked up. And then they keep towing the car. He's like, God damn it. It's definitely like a railing against the local government there mm-hmm. type of thing, you know?
Mm.
But overall, it's mostly just like a fun time with revenge and violence
yeah.
and getting crazy with it. It's like Twilight Zone. What about revenge?
No,
it's okay. Not really Twilight Zone-y, though.
I mean, it's in terms of being a collection of
shorts
stories.
And anthologies. Yes, that's about the only.
What do you prefer?
Though?
A creep show? It's a creep show, but it's revenge instead of
like Black Widow or Black Widow on Netflix.
Which one's that one?
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
But not like that at all.
But with revenge. Revenge. Yeah, just take away the central conceit of those things and replace it with revenge.
Sure,
because what's left is just the anthology, I guess. Never mind. All right. So, Wild Tales. If you get a chance to see it, people check it out for sure. Right?
Yep. Yes.
All right. Here we go. Moving on.
Coming in number five this week.
Number five.
It Follows.
Nice.
Had a weekend gross of just over $4 million. All right. Total of 4.7. No budget listed on Box Office Mojo.
And that's 1,200 screens.
Yeah, it added almost all 1,200 of those screens this week.
I mean, that movie could not have cost more than $500,000 to make, $750,000,
$750,000. I'd say at most $1 million.
At the most. Because there's a little bit of CG in there.
A little bit of CG. There's a little bit of, I don't know. Lately, I've been seeing a couple of commercials for it, so they're pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, because here's what happened with It Follows. Kind of an interesting story, right? The initial plan was to release it in 4 theaters, 3 in New York and 1 in L.A., which is what they did.
Yeah.
And then a week later, they're going to add some more screens, but not that many, and then put it on video on demand.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Because they're going to go video on demand, places like Regal and AMC, they have a standing policy where any movie that's available in any way outside of a movie theater, they won't screen it because they want to honor this window between...
Yeah.
The movies, the theatrical release and a DVD release, right? On demand is fucking that up for them. The movie comes out in those 4 theaters and makes like $130,000 per screening or something. It makes an insane amount of money for being on such a small amount of theaters. So like, obviously there's demand for this. So we're going to delay the video on demand and add screens. Like the first we'll add so many hundred, and then they bump it up to 1,000, and then right at the last minute they bumped it up to 1,200. The word of mouth was like really building this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it ended up playing now in town. It's at, you know, the Cobb, I think, downtown, and it's at Winter Park, and it's everywhere. AMC, it's playing all over town in every theater, and it's you gotta go see it, people.
It was fun.
It's worth seeing.
It's not a horror movie per se. I mean, it is.
It's kind a horror
of,
movie.
But it's more suspense than horror.
Do you get scared? When was the last time you got scared at a movie? It's been a while since I've been scared at a movie.
I can't even remember.
Right? It's when you're younger, obviously. Mm-hmm. I remember when I saw It when I was like, I don't know, 5, 6? No, a little older maybe. 8, right? Mm-hmm. By myself. lights off, and the scene where Pennywise, the clown, like this kid is alone in the school bathroom, and Pennywise comes up out of the grate and pulls it open, and his mouth is all huge, and it's all weird, stop motion looking. I jumped up out of the chair, ran over, and flipped the light on.
I'm like, screw this.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, I'll watch the rest of this with the light on. And then, man, I was scared shitless. Man.
Oh, I remember my Paranormal Activity, the first one.
That was last time that got you? Did you see it in the theater?
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of...
It helps to see it in a theater, big dark room like that.
They're remaking that. We saw the trailer in front of It Follows.
Oh, which one was it?
Paranormal Activity.
There's like four versions of that movie now.
It's the actual remake. It seems like a remake of the last one, because there are scenes straight up out of there.
No, not Paranormal Activity.
They show the trailer Poltergeist.
My
bad.
Which
horror movie starting with P.
Which is another, all these movies have, you know, they go back to Poltergeist anyway, you know, in a way. Paranormal Activity 3. I saw that one in the theater. I think that's actually the only one of all of them that I've seen in the theater.
I haven't seen any of them.
He hasn't even seen any of them. I've only watched the odd-numbered ones. So 1, 3, and I'm waiting for 5. I've never seen 2 or 4. Fuck those movies. Or spinoffs. Fuck spinoffs. The third one. Did you see the third one?
Yep.
Juno said he never saw him. All right. So there's a part in the third one where, and it's the only thing I even remember from the movie, where they have the camera on the oscillating fan, and the lady, she's in the kitchen or whatever. I think it's a lady. And the camera, she hears a knock at the door. She goes to the front door, and the camera follows her. And then when it pans back and she walks back to the kitchen, all of the furniture and everything on the counters, it's gone. The kitchen is clean. Yeah. And it's all one continuous shot, right? And she's standing there, she's like, what the fuck? And then everything just drops from the ceiling all at once and crashes, like, super loud. That made me, like, not just jump in a, like, a jump scare kind of way, but, like, that creeped me out. I was like, that's fucking genuinely creepy. Like, that looked really cool, and that would, if that happened to me, I'm out of the house.
Yep, gone.
Like, gone, running down the street, and so I collapse and die. Because I'd be so scared if that really happened. But that was 10 seconds in an hour and a half movie that otherwise I was like, man, I can't remember what else happened in that fucking movie. You know? But the first one definitely had some of those moments, but I only saw that one on DVD at home. I had the lights on. I was eating the Chinese food. You know, I was talking on the phone. It's not the same. It's like when I saw Blair Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was before anyone knew that it was fake, you know?
Yeah.
I saw it in a big empty theater because it was fucking like, there was no one in there. Dude, and I was 18. Creeped me out.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I wish movies would scare me. This It Follows didn't scare me, but it's definitely tense. There's definitely
the whole movie's tense.
The whole, like, the movie starts out with a scene where you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And then when that one scene ends, and it's like this horrible image, and you're like, what am I getting myself into?
Yeah.
It's that type of that type of feeling. And then the whole movie from that point on, it gets to the point where just hearing the sound of footsteps
and not being able to see anything. Yeah. I was fucking creeped out.
Yeah. It's like, oh shit, what's coming? What is it? Last
night I was outside smoking a cigarette. And I swear, I don't know if it was a dog or something, but something walked by outside the fence and I couldn't see what it was. Yeah. I was just like, shit,
It's coming for you. We should tell people if they don't know what It Follows is in case they haven't seen the commercial. It Follows, the girl from The Guest.
Yeah.
She has sex with this dude. And then immediately afterwards,
she gets a haunted STD.
She gets a haunted STD because immediately afterwards, this guy's like, listen, someone gave me this thing. We had sex and now I have it. And it's following me. And it takes the form of any person. It can look like anything. Sometimes look normal. Sometimes look all fucked up and crazy. Sometimes it's a giant. It's weird. And this person is always coming for you. It's always walking at you.
Very slowly.
Very slowly.
But it's always walking straight for you.
And not stopping. And you can get in your car and drive away and, like, put miles between you, and that'll buy you time, but it's still coming for you.
Yeah,
and eventually, if you just stop there and sit there and wait, it will show up. And it might look different. And you don't know if it's, like, is it me? I don't know. It's fucking weird, man.
You just get freaked out by anything walking towards you.
And then the guy's like, listen, I gave it to you because it's trying to kill me. Now, if you can go have sex with someone else and pass it along, then it's going to follow that person, and then it'll keep going down the line.
Just keep passing it.
But if it catches someone, then it's going to go backwards and go back to all the people that it originated from. That's what the guy says anyway. I don't know if I believe all that stuff. I don't want to get into the details, but I have a theory about that movie. I have a theory that gets spoilery. But yeah, it's intense, dude. And the music's all electronic, drone, like bow, bow, bow. And it's super, super loud and crazy. It's definitely worth seeing in a theater, for sure.
Yeah, it was fun. See that.
It was a lot of fun.
It's got this very cool, like, late 70s, early 80s aesthetic. But, like, one character has a nook, like a clamshell nook.
It's a clamshell, though. Yeah,
a clamshell nook. But then no one else has any sort of cell phone. Don't even uses any computers, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
It's fucking weird. It's cool. It's not like John Carpenter Halloween-ish, mm-hmm. you know?
And it's very guesty.
The guest, yeah, because it's got that 80s thing. They're all drawn from the same influences, mm-hmm. you know? And it was shot in Detroit.
Yeah.
Which is great. They took advantage of like all the rundown neighborhoods and all the old buildings and stuff.
They even talked about it.
Yeah, at one point, part of the dialogue was talking about
Eight Mile
and how it was all separated. The parents were like, you can't go in the, you know, that part of town. They're like, yeah, that's fucked up, blah, blah, blah. It's a very weird, intense movie. The director, writer-director, from FSU.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to assume then that he's from Florida. And, assume, who comes out of state to go to FSU?
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah, no, only Florida people do that. So there you go. Drew, would you, yeah? You
yes.
Yeah?
Go see it in theaters.
Go see it, people. Go see it. Let us know how awesome you think it is, because it's pretty awesome.
It is.
It's pretty awesome. All right, Drew. Let's do the rest of that box office.
Coming at number four this week, mm-hmm. Cinderella had a weekend gross of $17.5 million, total of $150, mm-hmm. budget $95.
Cinderella making that money. Disney making that money.
I didn't know Cinderella was out.
Yeah. It's live action. Three weeks now? 4 weeks?
Three.
3 weeks. Huh. Yeah. Banking. Making so much money. Disney's doing this with all their movies now. They got Dumbo's coming up next. Mm. Tim Burton's Dumbo.
Yeah. It's going to be weird.
It's going to be horrible.
Coming at number three this week, the Divergent series colon Insurgent.
I've seen that.
Weekend gross $22 million, total of 86, almost and a half, budget of 110.
You saw it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. We haven't seen any of them.
I saw the first one on HBO, waiting for the next one to be on HBO to check it out. So now that you're here, this is perfect. Please, what do you think about that?
All right. The first one was better. Okay. Had more action.
The first one had more action than the second one. Oh, okay.
The second one felt more like a filler.
Okay.
Like, we got to put something out to get some money to get to the next one.
Yeah.
And everything went quick. It was.
Did it make sense? Because I felt like that first one kind of didn't make any sense. I also watched it in bits and pieces out of order, but still, I felt like it didn't make much sense.
The story they were telling in the second one made sense.
Yeah.
Because it runs right after the first one.
Uh-huh. It's a continuation of whatever the hell's happened there. Like, they're on the run now. They're underground or some shit.
Yeah.
Divergence. Are they all divergents or just her?
Well, there's a certain group. You know, like, because she was special.
Yeah.
So there's a group of hers out there.
But she's looking for that group.
They pretty much know who's who, because she'd be like, you remember, like, in the first one, like, when they find a divergent?
Yeah.
And then, so it runs like that, but it goes into... Okay, in the second one, they're hunting. They want all the divergents now because they're special.
Right.
So they can do something for them. They need them to do something for them.
They need them to do something.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing with but the
But they only
man.
Need...
Like,
they need the strongest one, because, you know, they're all different.
And, like, of course, that's her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the Neo.
She's the Messiah.
She's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get it.
So it's the same thing, but it just felt like a filler.
Was there a lot of... The one thing I liked about the first one was all the crazy, like the dreams, the hallucinations.
They only had that a few times.
Really? Yeah. Less than in the first one?
Way less than the first one.
That's what I liked about it, because that's the only thing that set it apart from everything else.
Yeah. That's why this one felt like more of a filler.
Man. And then the next one's Allegiance, I think it's called.
Sure. If you say so.
It'll probably go down in the next one.
Hope so. It better. Unless they decide to split into two movies, those sons of bitches. That was number three, Drew?
Yes.
Still making that money. Good for Shailene Woodley. What's number two?
Number two, Gethard.
Had
a weekend gross of $34.6 million. Same as total. Budget of 40.
Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart.
Gethard.
None of us have seen it. How much did it make?
34.
34. 34 R-rated movie that time in March. Yeah, that works. That's about right. I would, these days, based on box office track record, I would put a lot of that, the success of that opening weekend, on Kevin Hart more than Will Ferrell. Even though Will Ferrell's been around longer, Kevin Hart has just been...
He's hot.
What's the one he did last year with Let It Ride? No. Yeah, with the one with Ice Cube.
Was it Ride Along?
Ride Along. Yes, Ride Along. That opens like $40 million or something like that. Mm. And that wasn't because people want to see Ice Cube in a comedy. You know, that's for sure. It's because of Kevin Hart. The one they just did in January, The Wedding Ringer, that opens like $25, $30 million. That's all, who, Josh Gad? No, all Kevin Hart. So this one, I'm put that more on him, because Will Ferrell has a share of, you know, $10 million, $12 million openings, stuff like Semi-Pro and things like that. But still, none of us saw this.
Nope.
Right?
No.
I'm going to go ahead. I should have had this set up already. I did happen to speak to my mother today.
Who saw it?
Who saw it with my dad and my brother, and they all liked it, which is surprising because it's not, doesn't seem like their type of movie, but they still enjoyed it. So
yeah, Kevin Hart's killing it. He got on sold out tours now.
He is killing it.
Selling out stadiums.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
Well, people want to see him. You know,
it's been a couple years now.
Yeah,
you know that he's been riding that wave. The on the Rotten Tomatoes, we're looking at out of 127 reviews, 40 of them are positive, so that's a 31% rating. An average rating of 4.3 out of 10. Let's see. It says, consensus, a waste of two fine funny men. Get Hard settles for tired and offensive gags instead of tapping into its premises, boundary-pushing potential. I do like both those guys. Are you a fan of both? Well, how do you feel about these two?
More Kevin Hart than Will Ferrell these days.
All right. Fan? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same?
Yeah.
I would say, I will actually... I don't like him equally, I have to say at this point. I saw this movie, it would be equally for both of them.
The way I see it, there was a golden age for Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah, him and Adam McKay when they made the first Anchorman, and then Ricky Bobby, and the early 2000s, even up to Step Brothers. I really enjoyed Step Brothers. I like the other guys, too. I like all the movies those two guys do together. Adam McKay, guy who directed all those movies, only does comedies, rumored to be in line to direct an upcoming Marvel film.
Okay.
He did do a rewrite on Ant-Man, so they're trying to get him to be one of their directors.
Interesting.
Because this is a guy who did fucking Anchorman movies.
Yeah.
Want him to do a superhero movie?
Maybe there's a funny superhero out there he can do.
Maybe Ant-Man 2.
Deadpool.
Deadpool's already being made at Fox. Fox has Deadpool. Oh, okay. And that's being made.
I know. It's going to be so good.
Ryan Reynolds Instagrammed or tweeted out a picture of him in the suit. It might be him. It might just be a CG rendering.
It looks like a CG rendering.
It could be a CG rendering.
At least a head.
Right. But it's Deadpool in a full outfit laid out on a Burt Reynolds style bearskin rug in front of a fireplace.
Yep. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. First official image from the film is that. So that should be a good movie. And it's definitely going to be rated R.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only game.
It's going to be a rated R action comedy.
Yeah. Should be good. Should be good. What were we talking about?
The number one movie?
Yes.
Home. We can gross up $54 million. Budget of $135.
Home is that animated DreamWorks movie with the voices of Rihanna is the girl. And she did a couple songs for the soundtrack. Although, I don't. What's that one she has out that's right now? Get My Money, Bitch, something like that.
Yeah,
that's the title.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, she has this movie,
yeah,
this family movie,
yes.
And then whoever's in charge, like, this is the perfect weekend to make sure we break this song, Bitch, Get My Money, or whatever, because, you know, the kids are looking up to you, you play the 7-year-old girl,
yeah,
they're going to be looking for your new music, we want to make sure this gets in the mix there.
Of course.
Yeah, let them know. Let them know what you're really
because
all about.
Because when I think Rihanna, it's I think family. It's just the worst timing. Movie.
It's just guys.
Dude, her
just
entire...
Wait a couple months for the summer.
Who even picked her? Like, she has zero credibility in the family market.
Oh, that's DreamWorks. That's DreamWorks style. When they make animated movies, they pick people to do the voices that they can sell in the commercials. They don't care. So that's why you have something like Shark Tale, where it's like Will Smith, Martin Scorsese, you know, all these people are in it. But they're all doing little characters. It doesn't matter. Whereas Pixar... When they cast their movies, they get people like Patton Oswalt or Ed Asner.
Yeah.
You know?
But they do amazing jobs.
Yeah, exactly. They're amazing movies. They're relying on the quality of the film. It's only to do something like WALL-E, where it's like, there is no one in this movie. It's a bunch of bloops and bloops. Yeah. Enjoy it. Enjoy people. And people are like, you know what? We'll lap this shit up. Fucking, that's what we do. So, Home, 49% on Rotten Tomatoes. And the consensus is colorful, silly, utterly benign. Home is a passable diversion. So there you go. That's pretty much what it looked like. New movies coming out on DVD. We got The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch, where he played that dude who invented machines.
And was gay.
And was persecuted for it. Wild, which I just started reading, and the book's pretty good so far.
Well,
it's a Reese Witherspoon movie where she went on the hike. You see the?
You said the movie was good.
One? Movie is actually pretty good.
Oh, I heard about it.
Movie's actually pretty good. It was really enjoyable. It's kind of like Into the Wild, but less. Your main character is way less stupid. Still flawed, but not as stupid. And Interstellar comes out on DVD, so people get back on that. What's coming out on in the movies?
Woman in Gold comes out.
That Helen Mirren, Ryan Reynolds team
I want
up.
My art back.
I want my art back. Yeah, I saw the trailer so much for that in front of a whole bunch of movies. Mm-hmm. Thank God it's finally coming out. Yeah. get it out of here because that's not going to make any money.
And then there's this tiny little movie called Furious 7.
Oh, this little independent film.
Yes.
Furious 7.
Furious 7.
Oh, I wonder if they're going to be able to make any money.
You know, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't know. I heard one of the actors died halfway through.
Ooh,
it.
Oh, that must have been crippling. Yeah. And they still managed to finish it?
They did, apparently.
It's probably going to make no money now. It's just horrible.
It is. It's awful.
Actually, we'll talk more about Furious 7 in the second half of the show here. Let's go ahead and take a break. All right. For the Crespo Disco break here, I got a couple songs from the It Follows soundtrack. Two of the songs that are much less of the, like, just incessant bass rumbling and like wah, wah. There's like some shit in there that's not even music. It's just like
weird.
It's just atmosphere, just being shit being thrown at you. Like, oh my god, these two are two actually kind of like songs ish. So enjoy it, guys. They're called Detroit and Lakeward, and the artist that did the It Follows soundtrack is someone called Disaster Peace. I don't know if it's a group or a person, and it's peace as in like peace sign, you know, peace, and it's one word. So check that out, people. Did follow soundtrack. Enjoy. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a lot to talk about, movie news, etc., etc. Here we go.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
It's the second half of episode 115 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drew Stacogra. Drew!
What up, bro?
And Anthony Blackassoff Davis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How's it going, guys?
Good, good, good.
We had a good break. You had some juice. Drew got his own juice, but a different kind of juice.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just leave it at that. I got my beer juice. It's all good. We're all hanging out. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At Antihero419, all over the interwebs.
All over, no matter where. Antihero419 is the place to find him. ChrisCrespo.com, Twitter, at Crespediso, or I am Chris Crespo. You can figure out which is which, which pertains to Cinema Crespediso on Facebook and Cinema Crespediso on Instagram. Please plug your shit. Plug your shit!
Hit me on Twitter and Instagram at Emerge City, and also at FogetDayo, FogetDayo.
Oh, yeah. People, it's a good show. I really enjoy it. It's four people now. Mm-hmm. The show has grown. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You got Lionel on there. He's a good guy. I like Lionel. Yeah, people, seriously, check out. What are you up to now? You're up to 100 and something?
121.
Damn, 121. God damn. Good job. Good job, guys. Love the show. All right, let's start out with some communiques from Billy. First, what do you got over there, Drew?
All right. First, it's about Stream Finders.
We
talked about it last week.
Well, last week, we had Steve Etchy on from Answer Pants over at RampantRadio.com. Go check those guys out. And Etchy mentioned on the show, how come there isn't an app or a website, some easy way to find out if a movie, like if it's playing on Hulu, is it on Netflix, is it on Amazon? You know, some one stop where you can go and just see that movie where it's available. And then Billy D hit us up.
According to Billy, there are a ton out there, dude, but these are two that I use from time to time. CanIStream.it and FlixFinder, that's FlixFinder,
mm-hmm.
.com.
So they dropped the E?
Yep.
Very, very modern room.
It is.
Very hip.
Yep.
That's what you got to do these days.
Yeah.
That's very 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. Got to find out, though, what's next.
Dropping
all vowels. That's going to be the next.
Well, not dropping all value.
No, dropping vowels. All vowels.
Not dropping all vowels, but definitely the last vowel. Not just things that end in R. We're going to see things that end in T's and other consonants.
It's going to be crazy. The word revolution is upon us, people. Yep. Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. Billy D, our New York City show correspondent and a horror film aficionado. It's time for Billy D's Death at the Movies. Where is that thing? Here we go.
What's up, guys?
That's the official intro.
As of this, I am still on spring break. Woo!
Still on spring break?
Yeah. Also,
this isn't he an adult by now?
Also, this features a bonus review within the review. Apparently, whatever, it's snowing in New York for Billy's spring break.
It is still snowing up there, poor guy.
He's probably just chilling out at Fort Awesome doing his thing.
Poor guy. Yeah, Fort Awesome. All right, so here we go.
All right, so yesterday, I was bumming around the city taking pictures and saw that Cinema Village was running Spring. I caught the next matinee. This movie recently crossed my radar when my girlfriend told me the guys who made Resolution made a new movie. Resolution was made by Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. It is great and streaming on Netflix and Amazon.
Resolution is on the Netflix and Amazon, okay.
It's a horror comedy about a friend chaining another friend to a pipe in a haunted squat until he detoxes from crack. There is a lot more to it. that make it what it is, but those are the broad strokes.
Okay. that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Benson and Moorhead made a new movie called Spring, and it's in limited release now. So apparently that was Resolution.
Okay.
Resolution's a horror comedy.
Okay. And but Spring is the one he saw at the theater.
Yes. Spring stars Lou Pucci and...
Pucci.
And a sad sack American with a checkered past... who relocates to Italy to fulfill a promise and flee a criminal matter.
Mm-hmm.
While there, he meets a beautiful girl and falls in love. However, the girl harbors a dark secret.
So far, he's describing the American.
The movie takes a little while to get where it's going, but it's charming and funny and not really that scary.
Okay.
It has scary fantasy elements, but really this is stripped-down modern-day fairy tale that works where so many others fail.
Sounds a little more Pan's Labyrinth-y, I guess, then.
See Spring when you fairy can. Tale. Bring your girl or guy. You won't be disappointed. Stay cool, Billy D.
So see Spring. He liked it.
Yeah, he liked it.
Okay, very cool. Thank you, Billy D. I appreciate it.
Interested to see Resolution.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to get
a horror comedy about a dude chained to a pipe in a haunted squat to withdraw from crack.
Imagine someone chaining up Pookie to detox him, and then the ghost comes out. It's like New Jack City meets Scary Movie.
Yeah, I like it.
But probably much more serious than that.
Probably.
Yeah, sure. I'm in. I'll check that one out on the Netflix. All right, so Hillbilly. Hillbilly D. What's up, Hillbilly D? He hates that. No, he's not a hillbilly. He did spend some time in Kentucky, but no, he's not a hillbilly. I can vouch for that. Hit up Billy D on Twitter at I Love Blood. And don't be put off by the name. Remember, he loves horror films.
He's a really nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He's not going to bite you hard. So, what we got, Drew? You can hit up the show on Twitter at Crespediso or email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com or Facebook us, and we will read your shit on the show. This show is a platform for the people. I am a critic of the people. The show is for the people. Y'all have a voice. This is your time to express it. Drew, what we got?
Speaking of, on Facebook, Paul Hine hits up.
What's up, Paul?
I feel most movies today don't have great replay value.
Right.
What are some movies that you find yourself watching over again or just can't turn off when they come on TV?
Sure, that's a good question. You got one? Anything pop to mind right away?
I got a couple. I got Friday.
Hell yeah.
I'll watch Friday to have it on.
So easy to watch.
No.
And for some reason, I love The Others.
Really?
Huh.
The Others. That's a weird one.
What?
Well, just to be like, I'm going to throw one. I guess not. Are you into horror movies, ghost stories? Is that your thing, or you just like that one so much?
I just like that one.
Interesting. Very interesting. Drew, anything pop to mind for you right away?
Anytime. I'm trying to think. There's a bunch of... I mean, anytime any of the... you know, classic action movies, you know, whether it's your Die Hard, your Steven Seagal movies, your Van Damme movies, your Schwarzenegger movies that are always on TV.
If Demolition Man's on AMC, I'm going to leave it on and watch it.
Exactly. I'll watch it.
Yeah. I don't care that they cut out all the cussing and stuff because I remember what they say anyway.
Exactly.
I have it on DVD. I can put it on DVD if I wanted to.
Movies like that, I tend to rewatch a lot.
Sure, sure.
I mean, you know, the classics whenever they're on, you know, even the weird ones like Apocalypse Now, MASH, you know, kind of the dark ones. Oh, if they're on TV, I will watch them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the reason why I have so many DVDs is because I find a lot of movies very rewatchable. Yeah. I do initially. Sometimes I buy a movie and then I'll try to watch it again later. I'm like, this bores me. Mm-hmm. That does happen. Not every movie has replay value, but lately I've been watching over and over. And by lately, I mean the last few years, 3 or 4 years. I've been watching Blowout over and over. Brian De Palma's Blowout with John Travolta. More recently, I think I've watched The Guest 2 or 3 times since I got it on DVD.
It's a good movie.
Including once with the commentary track on. That's how much I like to watch that movie. Manhunter. I watch that all the time when it's on Netflix. All the time. To the point where it's like, why am I even watching this? I know what happens next, but I want to live in that movie.
Yeah.
And the style of the movie, I love it so much. So yeah, there's definitely tons of movies out there that are worth checking out again, you know?
Yeah.
Any Coen Brothers movie?
Yeah.
Big Lebowski,
fun.
I've seen that
dozens
of times.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen that movie.
Seen it so many that I haven't seen it in years. I don't need to. It's all up here right now, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to like take a decade off before I watch it again, seen so often.
Yeah.
Probably Die Hard would take the cake, though, for a movie I've seen the most.
Good Lord, yeah.
I just love Die Hard.
It's a good movie. Anytime it's on, I mean, it's a Christmas tradition. A Christmas tradition.
Christmas. Every Christmas, you got to watch Die Hard. Some sort of Die Hard movie, 1, 2, or 3. Mm-hmm. I will not abide anything else. Any other Die Hard related shenanigans. So there you go, Paul. Appreciate it. What else we got, Drew?
Coming in from Twitter, Mr. Nadathon.
Mr. Nadathon!
Mini review.
Mini review. If you want to review a movie, please hit us up. Yeah, we'll love to read your reviews.
Of Life Itself.
The Roger Ebert documentary.
All right. Amazingly beautiful. Look at the life and last days of the best critic ever. 2 thumbs up.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a really good documentary. It's all about Roger Ebert, what he did for film criticism, you know, and I mean, you think about it, he's pretty much like it when it comes to film critics.
Yeah, he was.
He's Siskel and Ebert, obviously, because of TV, but, you know, Ebert outlived Siskel. But he was like the critic. Everyone knew who he was because he was the first one on TV. You know, they were on TV for years.
No.
Mm-hmm. Film critics ain't on TV now. Haven't been on before, haven't been on since.
I mean, the thumbs
very
up.
Very unique.
The thumbs up, thumbs down thing. That was them.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Wait, didn't he keep the show going with a different?
Yes, he tried with other people.
It went off.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, after like 5, 6 years. Because Ebert and Siskel, sometimes they would go at it. You know, they were really like, they were friends, but they, when their opinions differed, they would fucking like really butt heads. It was awesome to watch, to see them debate movies.
Mm-hmm.
When other people came on, they were way too deferential to Ebert. Like, oh, here's Mr. Ebert. Yes, sir. Like, you know, they wouldn't argue the same way. Whereas Siskel, they were equals. They're on a level from that point forward. Anyone else on the show is like always looking up to Roger Ebert. Oh, he's fucking Roger Ebert. You know?
Yeah.
Well, he was. Now he's dead. Now he's a wonderful piece of energy swirling around the world. You know, maybe he's like inside a movie camera right now.
Or maybe he's lost in eternal oblivion.
Or maybe he's just lost in eternal nothingness, and he has no idea that he left. Oh shit! Drew Stikogburn versus the world. Drew Stikogburn versus the world. It is that time for some Drew Stikogburn versus the world. So far, Drew, this year you are 2-0, undefeated.
It's only been two Drew Stikogburns versus the world.
I know.
And it's I'm 0-2 against him.
Oh, boy.
Sweet.
So here we go. Are you going to be.
Awesome.
Are you going to be his first loss for 2015?
I feel a little better about this.
We'll find out. This is going to be an interesting game, too. Name of this game is Captain America, Captain Kirk, or Star-Lord.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me who is in it. Chris Evans, Chris Pine, or Chris Pratt.
Okay.
So you got your Evan Captain Pine America, Captain Kirk, and Star-Lord. I was on with Thor, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
But he's also... He shares a movie with Captain Kirk, and it was just getting awkward. I had to cut him out of there. I went with another Chris. So anyway, Chris Evans, Chris Pine, Chris Pratt. We all know who these three gentlemen are?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Captain America.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know Captain America?
Yep.
You know Chris that guy? Evans. Chris Evans.
Okay.
You can say Captain America,
yeah.
Captain Kirk for the new Star Trek.
Okay.
Okay. Or Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's Chris Pratt.
Okay.
Chris
okay.
Pratt. If you want to say those characters, you can.
All right, cool.
You can say either the characters or the actor names. Drew's going to go first because he won last week.
Okay.
In a double tiebreaker against Etchy.
Yeah.
Exciting game. Check that out. Two groups, A, B, five each. Which one do you want, Drew, A or B?
I'll take A.
Okay. I'll give you the movie. You tell me who was in it. Number one, Moneyball.
Must have been Pratt.
That is correct. Number two.
Oh, yeah, he was a pitcher.
Or something like that.
Something like
he
that.
He was a player.
Yeah, he was a player. Yeah. Number
two. The Losers.
Chris Evans.
That's correct. Number three. Into the Woods.
Chris Pine.
That's correct. Number four. Cellular.
Chris Evans?
That's correct.
Whoa.
A little guess. And number five, Take Me Home Tonight.
Take Me Home Tonight. Chris Pine.
Ooh, Chris Pratt.
Oh!
4 out of 5. You're going to have to run the table to win this one. Here we go. Remember, you can say if you want Captain America, Captain Kirk. Number one. The 5-year engagement.
Captain America.
That's incorrect. It's Star-Lord. I'm sorry. Oh. One of the friends. You got to get the rest right. Here we go. Number two. This Means War.
What's that guy from the Star Wars? I mean, Star... That guy.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah, Captain Kirk.
That's correct. Chris Pine. Chris Pine, that's correct. Number three. Zero Dark
30. Ooh. Oh, Star-Lord.
That's correct. Number four, Push.
The dude. Not him. Wait a minute. Hold on. Was Thor one of the options?
Your options are Captain America, Captain Kirk, Captain or Star-Lord.
Okay.
And the movie is Push.
Push. Pushing, a little push with Captain America.
That's correct. And number five, People Like Us.
The Star Trek guy. The new Kirk, Captain Kirk.
That's correct.
Man.
You tied 4 out of 5. Brilliant
Good
job.
Good job, dude.
Brilliant job. That means tiebreaker time. We got a piece of paper on here. Drew, yeah, grab one of the pieces of paper you just used. Tear that baby in half because we are doing closest to the pin. You got a pen over there?
No.
I should share that one. closest to the pin. Here we go. We mentioned Moneyball, starring Chris Pratt. How much did Moneyball make at the U.S. box office? So glad you can make write down your answer. Pass it to me. Give Drew the pen. He'll write down his answer. Exciting. Tiebreakers 2 weeks in a row. This is so good.
Let me go with...
Just wanted to throw that out there. All right. Okay. Okay. Come on. Coming down to the tiebreaker. Making me do a little bit of math here. I don't like math. Oh, you know what? It looks like... Let me just do this real quick. If I do that, if I take this, and I subtract that from here... Okay, and then if I do this, and subtract that, off by only $40 million, saying $35 million, Anthony Black has off Davis.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to thank my mama. I'd like to thank my barber I used to have when I had a hairline. I'm the best ever. Can't nobody beat me. The Money Mayweather movies. Thank you.
There you go. Congratulations.
Good
Drew,
job.
You are now 2-1. Drew said $130 million, off by about $50 million. Yeah. The answer was... 75.6 million at the U.S. box office. Because I didn't do math. You guys were like, one was within 30, 35, one was in 50. Come on. Oh. Way too close. Last week, we had to do a double tiebreaker because first round, him and Etchy guessed the exact same number.
Oh, wow.
It happens.
And I was like, you sons of bitches. No, it doesn't happen. That was our first time it ever happened. We've been doing this for a couple years now. That's the first time
it ever happens. Happened.
Congratulations.
It happened.
That was great. Great game, guys. Back to the communiques. What are the people telling us, Drew?
Mr. Nadathon agreed with our review of Dumb and Dumber 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mini review. What the fuck? I never turned movies off, but this turd was so hot and steamy, I couldn't handle it.
Ew, hot, steamy turd. Yeah, dude. Dumb and Dumber 2 is sad. Have you seen it? Are you a fan of the first one?
I haven't seen that one either.
Really? Watch the first one. If you like it, great. If not, definitely don't see the second one.
Yeah.
Don't even see the second one.
No, you should. You shouldn't. There's no point.
It is so
bad. It is really just awful.
I really, really like the first one. You know who really likes the first one? Dumb and Dumber? I mean, loves it? Matt from SBK Live. That and The Hangover, his favorite comedies of all time. Those two movies. Yeah. Man, that says a lot.
Yeah.
Has he seen Dumb and Dumber 2 yet?
I don't know.
We got to make him watch it because it's so bad.
Speaking of him, though... I'm on to
Mattis Cabin.
What was your favorite Mad Max movie? I think I might like Thunderdome best.
Oh, all right. Obviously, we got Mad Max: Fury Road coming out.
Yes,
They're showing the trailers down for that in front of movies. That's a sick trailer.
Pretty insane.
Yeah, crazy. Movie's gonna look. It's gonna be great. This is Thunderdome. Interesting. Do you guys have a favorite Mad Max movie between the first three?
I mean, as of right now, my favorite Mad Max movie is the Fury Road trailer.
Fair enough. Okay, sure.
Which one is the one where they're...
You got the one where they kill his family. That's the first one. The second one was when they're always moving and there's Lord Humongous and they're trying to get the oil and stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And the third one is Tina Turner and the Thunderdome.
That's the one that...
And he fights a dude and then fights out he's a big old retard.
That's the one that's always on TV.
Yeah, that is
the one. Yeah, that's the one I like the most.
He has the shorter hair and it's with a shock of gray in it. Yeah. Mine would be between the first two. I loved all the Lord Humongous stuff, you know, and his roving gang. The Fury Road looks like it has more in common with that than the other ones. But if I had to like sit down and watch one of them, I'd watch that first one. I just, the first 15 minutes of the movie, I could just watch that and be happy. The opening car chase, the toe cutter. This guy, I'm the toe cutter. And then Mad Max starts rolling up behind him, and then he starts crying. He's like, shit. It's this guy. This guy's here. I'm doomed. And then he dies.
Yeah.
And his eyeball gets all big, and then he blows up, and some other guy gets trapped in the truck, and then they set him on fire, and he blows up. It's a crazy movie, man.
It is.
The toe cutter. Yeah, so there we go. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate it. Is that it? Are we done with that stuff? All right, guys. Remember, email us, tweet us, let us know. Put it out there. Let's get into that movie news. I said we'd talk some more about Furious 7.
Mm-hmm.
Weta, the people behind the Lord of the Rings movies, Peter Jackson's company, they were hired to help... finished all the Paul Walker scenes after Paul Walker, you know,
passed.
That's a nice way to put it. Very respectful, Drew. So are you feeling okay?
He blew up in a car.
There you go. There we go. Thank you. That's the Drew we all. That's the Drew we all love. So they did a whole bunch of things to try to make these scenes happen. And one of the things I want to do with this movie, I really want to try to spot all the fake Paul Walkers.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So one of the things they did, he has two brothers who they all look pretty similar. So they used two of them in different scenes depending on what they needed. And then they like CG face replacement, whatever. They changed their faces just enough to make them look more like Paul than themselves. But if you look them up, their names are like Caleb or Cody or something super white like that.
Mm-hmm.
They look just like fucking Paul Walker. Like Paul Walker is just like the slightly more handsome of the three of them, yeah. Right? So they're doing that. They're doing straight up just like body doubles. Like not just the brothers, but other people for like the action stuff, right? They're doing... I think they created a CG Paul Walker for a few things. Probably for some of the action stuff. But this is going to be a full-on CG version of him. Wade helped with that. And they used old footage, I guess unused footage, from other Fast and Furious movies of him. And they're going to incorporate that into the movie to try to finish everything. That's a lot of shit.
Yeah. But we don't know how they're taking him out the movie, like how he dies.
Well, the movie's been screening now. At the few screens they've done, they said, please don't share any of that information. The only thing I've been able to gather is there's a scene where a lot of the characters are sitting around a table, mm-hmm. and apparently they're all talking about him being gone or him going away, and it's going to be a very like emotional scene, and it's very obvious that they're all, you know, they're not even acting, they're all talking about, you know, Paul Walker for real. And they're doing that, and they did say a while ago they're not going to kill him. They're not killing the character. Mm. They're giving him like a send off of some sort. So he is in the movie. The character is married with the kid.
Yeah.
So they might just be like, "You gotta get out of here. You gotta protect your kid. You gotta grow up." And I'm Vin Diesel. Your family.
I'm gonna keep killing people.
I'm gonna keep killing people because this is family. how many times is he gonna say family in this movie?
We should do a Furious 7 drinking game.
Furious 7 drinking, dude, you'd be so pissed. You'd have the least amount of alcohol per beer, you know, the lightest beer possible.
Yeah.
You'd be hammered by the time he's like, we're family. You're talking about family. I don't have friends. I have family. Yeah. We're going to kill all the family. Yeah. Like, dude, we get it. I'm looking forward to seeing this movie, man.
Me too.
It's going to make a shit ton of money, too.
What you heard it was relentlessly.
Relentless. The movie, the action is relentless.
Action is relentless.
To the point where, like, usually there's like 15, 20 minutes of exposition between action scenes. This one has like 5 minutes between action scenes. And then sometimes, while they're doing the exposition, they just have to keep with the action. The favorite thing I read about this was a tweet. I mentioned this on SBK Live. One of the two writer-directors who did the Lego movie and 21 Jump Street, those movies, they saw the first screening of Furious 7, and they tweeted that the movie is so over-the-top that it goes over a second top that you didn't even know was there. That's how over the top it is. Have you seen the trailer where the car is jumping? Vin Diesel drives a car out of one building. And then
lands
he drives
another.
It into the other one. Yeah. And then he jumps out of the car as it slides through the glass. I mean, come on.
Ridiculous.
And the slow motion shot with the sun in the background. And they're like, oh, also, by the way, we're going to make this look cool, too. Like, it's going to look beautiful. It's stupid and beautiful at the same time. Yeah. That's
so
what
do you watch these in the theater or do you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, 5 and 6 and now this one.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The first one, nah. The craziness of these movies is not enough to make the first one good because that first one stinks. The second one, never saw. The third one, I've seen bits of. The Tokyo Drift, never saw the whole thing. I don't think I've seen 4, then 5, 6, and 7. Because those are ones where
shit got crazy.
Yeah, Fast 5 is the one where all of a sudden like the reviews came out like, what, this is getting good reviews? The other ones didn't get good reviews, but the fifth one's like, what the fuck? Everyone actually likes this movie.
Yeah.
You know, so and they're fun.
Yeah. And it's like the only franchise that got better as it.
Yes.
Later. Oh yeah.
It's the exception to the rule because usually the movies get worse. Mm-hmm. You know, but for some this one somehow found its way. 4 or 5 movies deep. Somewhere between 4 and 5, someone was like, no, this is what we should be doing. And it's the same director who did 3, 4, 5, and 6. So why isn't 3 any better? Because I watched parts of 3, and it's not as good as, it's not as over the top and crazy as these recent ones. Adding The Rock, I think it's just adding Dwayne Johnson. That's what they did. They added Dwayne Johnson, and then it's fucking, he's franchise Viagra. That's what he calls himself. look it up. He calls himself franchise Viagra. You put him in the Fast and Furious movies, the grosses have gone up. You put him in, they made Journey to the Center of the Earth 3D with Brendan Fraser. It didn't make any money. They put him in the sequel. It made over $100 million.
Dang.
G.I. Joe. They put him in G.I. Joe 2. That made more money than the first one. Even though it stinks, it made more money.
He's French as Viagra.
He's the man. He's the man. But now they're putting the cart before the horse because now he's in the San Andreas movie. It's like, it's not a sequel, man.
No.
Like, you can't, it's not going to be the same. He needs to be in San Andreas 2. Right? Mm. San Andreas 2, Lost in New York or something like that. Yeah, it's like the East Coast, the East Coast version of San Jose. Why aren't we making more movies? Why aren't we making the movies true?
Because we don't have any money.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Connected universe, cinematic universe, that's the new thing. Thanks to Marvel, the Avengers. Right now, when these studios are making movies, they have to find a way to make a whole bunch of movies that fit under one umbrella because it worked for Marvel, so everyone's like, we're going to copycat you. So we talked about on the show before, Ghostbusters. Yes. They're doing that. There's a whole Ghostbusters division now over at like Paramount or at Universal. It's being run by Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman, and they're making multiple Ghostbusters movies that are going to have different characters, and then they're going to have other movies where they team up and shit like that. It's going to be crazy.
So weird.
Mm.
Now they're doing that essentially with the Transformers movies over at Universal. Nice. They have this guy, Akiva Goldsman, who is the hackiest writer to ever win Oscar for best writer for a screenplay.
Okay.
Because he stinks.
He's awful.
He wrote Batman and Robin.
Ooh.
He wrote Batman and Robin. But somehow he keeps making money, making movies. That's ridiculous. He's going to be in charge of the Transformers universe along with Michael Bay, Spielberg, Lorenzo Di Bonaventura, because they're all producers. And they're going to keep making Transformers movies, and they're going to be with like some of the same characters, some with different characters. They're going to make a Dinobots movie, et cetera, et cetera. Because, you know, the last two made over $1 billion each.
Yeah.
Wow.
So why stop? Would you stop making them?
No.
Right. So you can't be mad at these guys. Do you watch it? Have you seen any of the Transformers movies? Are you into those movies at all?
They're so awful.
I've seen them. The last one was the worst. One of the worst movies ever.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it crazy how, yeah. I mean, they already have a pretty low bar set for Transformers movies. I was like, you know, so low that when the third one came around, I was like, oh, that wasn't as bad as the second one. That second one was so bad. The third one was like, at least that was kind of watchable. For some reason, this fourth one was just the fucking worst.
It was like hour-long action scenes.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Enough buildings have fallen over. I have officially stopped caring, but they're going to keep making them, man. I do want to see the Transformers movie because at least the way that one ended when Optimus Prime was like, I'm going to go find my God. And then he turned on his rocket shoes and flew into outer space.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. The next one's going to be nuts. During
that. He slept during that. That's the very, very end of the movie, man. I want to see that movie. I want to see the one the movie opens with Optimus Prime flying through space with one arm.
And the whole time he's been running around on Earth with his feet, like trying to catch up to stuff.
Yes, he's always driving around and running around and getting into airplanes and stuff. And then at the end of the fourth movie, you realize he has rocket feet and he can fly through outer space.
What the fuck?
Why were you getting on airplanes? What is this? Why are you driving places?
You can fly.
He was driving places at 65 miles per hour. But he has rocket feet and can fly through outer space.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I want to see rocket feet movie. The other ones can all go to hell.
Transformers in space.
Now, this is a project that's been in the works for a while. And I've been waiting to talk about it. I figured it's a good time to talk about it because it's featuring one of Drew's most favorite actors of all time.
Okay.
But first off, they're doing a remake of The Magnificent Seven.
Ooh.
Which is itself is a remake of Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it comes to something like that, like there's a Scarface remake that they're making now.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, you can't remake Scarface.
Scarface itself is a remake.
The Al Pacino movie is a remake of a movie from like 1932. So you guys got to relax. So if a movie's already been done, like the Thing prequel, I didn't want to get up in arms about it because the John Carpenter thing is a remake.
Yeah.
Right? So
mm-hmm.
Magnificent Seven remake is coming. Antoine Fuqua is behind it. The guy did Training Day. What did he just do? God, now it's killing me. With Denzel.
We saw it, too.
And we saw it. And it's...
Equalizer?
Yes, The Equalizer.
Based on the TV show.
Which was... And I say this with no irony or cynicism or anything like that. No snark. My favorite bad movie of 2014. Like, I really... That movie entertained the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And it's so bad. Wonderfully stupid.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
It's pretty awful.
The final scene where he's taking people out in the Home Depot-like store with the tools and stuff, that was amazing.
It was a lot of fun.
That was great. I loved it. And then he's standing like a total badass, and the sprinkler's going off, so it's raining in the store. Like, they can't not have him fight in the rain. It's in the store. Turn on the sprinklers. He's fighting in the rain. this movie is going to be great. And it is. I enjoyed it. My favorite part is when he goes to Craigslist at the very end and he finds the ad. Can someone help me? And then he replies, yes, a feature that's not available on Craigslist. He goes, reply, yes. Then he closes the laptop, then sips his tea and looks around like very self-satisfied, like,
I'm going to go kill some more people.
Like, I helped that person. No, I took it as in, like, that's it. Like,
oh, that was it?
Like, yes. He answered, can anyone help me? Yes. And then he closed it. And it's like, you didn't bother find out who. You're supposed to let him know that, like, where are you at? Give me your address anyway. That movie's a lot of fun. Their next movie, Magnificent Seven. The cast is underway for this movie. Speaking of Star-Lord, Chris Pratt is going to be in it, along with Ethan Hawke. And, of course, Antoine Fuqua. He's not making this movie without Denzel Washington.
No.
Got to imagine Denzel's going to be the Yul Brynner role, or maybe the Steve McQueen role. And just added to the cast for Magnificent Seven is Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, Vinny D.
Drew loves Vinny D.
I love me some fat Vinny D.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been fat for a few years now. So you can just say Vinny D. You know, we all get a guy's fat. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I love Westerns. But it doesn't say, is it going to be a Western? Like, I mean, it's the type of story that you can easily update it. It doesn't have to be a Western. It could be modern.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
He's a lot on the Law & Order Criminal Intent.
He was also the cockroach man in Men in Black.
Yeah. He's the main bad guy in Men in Black. And he's the dude who shoots himself in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, guy's been everywhere.
Yeah.
Guy's been everywhere. And he's going to be in Magnificent Seven. Looking forward to that. Not all of his movies are good. Sometimes he does stuff like...
And most of his television is bad.
Well, except in Law & Order, where he's all like...
It's still
he's
not
standing
that
around
good.
Like, and he's cocking his head. He's like, let me just... It's like, who do you think you are, Columbo? Come on, man. Get out of here. This is an interesting Instagram post. You know, we're getting a lot of movie news these days, celebrity news from places like Instagram. Instead of like official publicity or, you know, press releases, now it's like actors put something out there. Like the first day of, or like we were talking, Ryan Reynolds said the first official image of Daredevil, yeah, he put on his Instagram, right? The first day of shooting, he put out a picture of like the back of his chair, the chair where he sits in and has his name. Hugh Jackman put out this Instagram where he simply wrote Wolverine ... one last time, and then he signed it HJ, and then it's a picture of his hands, and only one hand has the claws. So it's like he's in the process of putting on some of the prosthetic claws.
Yeah.
Pretty sure this is for the Wolverine 2, because it hasn't been announced that he's in X-Men Apocalypse, which is coming out next year. He said before that he wants to try to play Wolverine until he dies, but you know, obviously that can't happen. He's getting old, guys.
Well, he can. It all depends on the X-Men.
X-Men that they want to portray.
Yeah. But if they want to do old man Logan, they can, you know, still use Hugh.
But here's the direction they're taking X-Men. X-Men Apocalypse takes place in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So characters from the other movies like Cyclops and Jean Grey, they've been recast with younger actors. So now the movies that come after Apocalypse are going to be set in like the 80s and 90s. So they're using younger actors. They may even find a way to use a younger, get someone else in there to play Wolverine at this point. That's very possible. Mm-hmm. If they were going to replace that guy, this ripped Australian song and dance boy, who would you pick? Who would be your Wolverine choice?
I would pick Clint Eastwood's son.
Clint Eastwood's son?
His son.
He's got a son? Jimmy Eastwood? Bobby Eastwood?
I don't know his name.
Eddie Eastwood?
You never seen him?
No.
He looked like Wolverine.
Does he? Well, Eastwood looks like fucking, like young Eastwood. He could have played. He's too tall. But his face, with the right facial hair, he totally could have been a Wolverine. Actually, Hugh Jackman has said, like, when he started playing Wolverine in the X-Men movies, he played him a lot like Clint Eastwood in Spaghetti Westerns. So, like, the squinting and the chewing on cigars and stuff like that. He took all that from Eastwood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So I could see it bringing back around then. I haven't seen his son. You know whose son I have seen? Patrick Schwarzenegger. Like, I haven't seen him, like, in person, but he's out there in the news because he's dating that Miley Cyrus.
Mm.
So,
dating that Miley.
Getting that Molly with that Miley. Poor Patrick. Poor Arnold. He's like,
poor Arnold is right.
He's like, my son's running around with this tramp. The boy and the tramp. Drew, any ideas for a Wolverine?
No.
Nothing?
Not really.
What about Chris Pratt? He's getting everything.
No.
Yeah, look at that guy. He looks just like his goddamn dad. He looks like a cross between his dad and kind of a Chris Hemsworth-y sort of. Yeah, this guy. Yeah, look at this guy, Drew. Look at Clint Eastwood's son.
Oh, yeah. Give him some more facial hair, totally.
Give him some more facial hair. Jack him up. I bet you his dad is tall. I bet you he's tall. We got to make him look like he's 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah.
That's the thing. With even Hugh Jackman's 6'1", but Wolverine's supposed to be a shorter character. That's the part of the point of the character, that he's Canadian, that he's short. Because when they created the character, there were no Canadian superheroes.
Nope.
And there were no short superheroes. And they're like, the guy who created it was like, this is what these are two things that I want. And his name's Wolverine. Do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. But he's Canadian and he's short. And that's the character they came up with.
I want some nasty Wolverine, though. Like, rated R.
Well, yeah. You know, that's like, I want some rated X for violence Punisher.
Well, the Punisher. I mean, you got that Punisher. The Warzone?
Close.
What do you mean close?
It was the closest one.
He shotgunned an old woman's face off. Yeah, she was just sitting at the table. Didn't even have a weapon on her. Pointed the shotgun at her face from like a foot away, blew it off, and then the camera didn't pan away, didn't cut. It was one long steady shot, and then it was just the smoking meat crater of a head. Yeah. And Mike Rapport was just like, no!
He threw some dude in a glass grinder, too.
Yeah, and he was grinding up the guy's face, and then instead of the guy trying to get out, you know, help me, he was just yelling, fuck you! Fuck you! And he was getting all ground up. Oh, man, that's a fun movie, dude.
It was awesome.
That last Wolverine, the one that was in Japan.
It was good.
They had that the unrated version where like they shot some stuff and they cut some things that they cut out purposely for the PG-13, and then they put it back in to make it like a little more push that R-rated envelope. So they definitely try to go there with the harder Wolverine. Yeah, but Wolverine's got to be fucking brutal, you know.
But still, it's for the movies. It's got to be PG-13 because the kids and the teens are the ones.
That's where the money is at.
No,
that's where the money is at. And then you do the unrated DVD.
Sure.
So the same guy who did the Wolverine, James Mangold, is doing the sequel with Hugh Jackman, so it's going to be in the same tone, same style. Maybe they'll get to push the envelope a little bit more. Mm. We'll see. Final story I got here.
I want someone to do a really arty Weapon X movie.
It would be really arty. Weapon X is so weird.
I know, it's awesome.
We're all fans of Key and Peele, right?
Yes.
I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. They have that substitute teacher sketch, which my mom loves because she's a teacher. Where he's in the class full of white kids and he's reading all their names wrong. Aaron, right? You'd be like Daru.
Yeah. Daru.
Daru, right? Paramount has signed on to make the substitute teacher movie. Yep. Key and Peele's hot, man.
It is, but
they have all the sway now.
I think it's gonna go the way of Major Payne.
I liked Major Payne.
Major Payne was awesome.
I like Major Payne. He's like, would you stare at ass eyes?
I mean, it's funny, but I don't think I don't know.
It's like people start looking at me like that. Get my Agent Orange acting up, making me want to kill. It's so fun. Bam Bam Bigelow shows up and then he just knocks him out, and then Bam Bam Bigelow dies later, separately in real life, but still. Major Payne killed him.
If you say so.
I like Major Payne. I actually like that movie quite a bit. Might also be because it has, what's her name, Parsons, Catherine Parsons, Kathy Parsons, the chick from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I don't like the way you're looking at me while you're saying that at all.
If they make a movie that kind of comedy, it's going to have to be a broad comedy like that. I'm fine with it. It's not like they make movies like that all the time anyway. Just something silly. Yeah. They're making other things. I always get them. I never get their names right. Keegan-Michael Key is he's the one that's playing the teacher, right? Jordan Peele. Obviously, they're working this together, but he's working on the side on his own thing where he's making a horror movie.
Sweet.
And it's going to be like, not even, I'm sure it's going to end up being funny because he can't not be funny. He's probably one of those guys, but he's making a straight up horror film. He's been wanting to be a director for years, and they're using their clout now. And also, they're in charge of Police Academy.
Mm. Yeah.
They're rebooting that motherfucker, which, hey, you're going to remake a movie. Police Academy is ripe.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect. I mean, those movies stink. But I love them. But I love most.
You love the Goot?
The Goot. I love the Goot. I love the Winslow with all the noises. Jones. You know that guy. Mm-hmm. I love Hooks, where every movie does the same thing, where she's always talking like this. Oh, and then at the very end, she's got to be really loud, and she does it, and everyone's like, oh, it's Hooks.
The blonde with the big tits who likes guns.
The older lady, yes. Blonde with big tits. Yeah, she's fun. And then Tackleberry. Big old Tackleberry, who died of cancer.
Oh,
like 10 years ago. Bummer. Sorry, guys. Tackleberry's gone. Rest in peace. Hightower, Bubba Smith. Mm-hmm. Come on, Hightower was the man. Bobcat Goldthwait was the bad guy in the second one. Became a cop in the third one. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense. Glorious. Love it. And then Gutenberg was out, and then they brought in that other guy. We're like, who's this guy? And then the series never recovered. Yeah, they still made 7 of those things.
Wow.
I never saw the 7th one. Mission to Moscow. Mm-hmm. It was made like in the 90s, like 8 years after the 6th one.
Sounds awful.
Was the 6th one? The 6th one was City Under Siege, where they're in New York City and it's a blackout. And then that big guy, he has the giant ice cream cone, and then all the ice cream falls over, and he gets mad, so he flips over a car.
Nope.
You remember that?
Mm-mm. I don't think I ever saw it.
And then Jones gets in a fight with a bunch of guys, and he gets knocked into a bunch of electronic equipment. Then he sticks, like, wires and stuff in his shirt, and then he pretends to be a robot. He's like...
I seen that.
And then they think he's, like, a malfunctioning robot, and then he beats him up.
Sure.
So implausible. You say so. It's wonderful. That's comedy. That's comedy, guys. I mean, a form of it. Successful or not, I don't know. End of the show. Here we go. It's time for the lightning round. Hope you're ready for this. Oh, wait. I got to do this.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Lightning round time. Here we go. I got 10 questions. You are going to answer them as fast as you can. Hopefully we'll learn a little bit about you. You ready?
Yeah.
Drew, start that lightning round clock.
Go.
Number one. Where in time is Carmen Sandiego?
1999.
Number two, who framed Roger Rabbit?
His younger brother.
Number three, what's up, Tiger Lily?
Huh? I don't get it.
Number four, dude, where's my car?
Georgia.
Number five, what's the worst that could happen?
You can die.
Number six, who's Harry Crumb?
He's... Harry.
Number seven. Oh, brother, where art thou?
Jerusalem.
Number eight. What's eating Gilbert Grape?
A yeast infection.
Number nine. Are you afraid of the dark?
Sometimes.
And number 10. What's love got to do with it?
Nothing. When you play ya.
Nothing is correct. Very good, sir. It is time for some swag baggery. You have two choices there. Swag bag. You got the bag with the polka dots and the one with the stripes. Which one would you like? Go ahead and grab that one. Give it to Drew. Drew, will you please break open the bag and let him know what his swaggity so is going to be.
Sir, you are the proud owner of a That's Gross Pull Back Cockroach. Pull it back and watch it run.
Oh, nice.
It's a toy cockroach on wheels.
Wheeled cockroach.
You're also the proud owner of a Ponyland Crystal Pony. It has wings as well.
Nice. Yes. That's awesome.
The winged pony.
You got some Ice Age Dino World plastic dinosaurs.
Ooh. Hell yeah. The dinosaurs can erase the roaches.
But I don't think the dinosaurs had anything to do with the Ice Age. Anyway, got yourself a Play Doctor set, so if you want to go home and play some Doctor with somebody.
Operation time.
Always fun. Really?
Really?
All right, you got a Four River Smokehouse menu.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yes.
Right across the street.
There you go.
Oh, yes.
You got a copy of, from Marvel Frontier Comics, Dances with Demons, number one. I have no idea what
number one is. It's a number one issue, bro.
Well, what if this went up to like $30 million later in life?
It is. It probably
might
is.
Be worth 30 million pennies.
It probably is.
And
finally.
You got some Cinema Crespediso stickers.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, yeah. We got three types of stickers now.
And Treasure Hunt. Oh, really? Really? This isn't the Treasure Hunt for $1.95?
What you got?
Seriously?
What's he getting?
Darren Aronofsky's The Fountain.
The Fountain. The Fountain Crazy Movie.
$1.95?
That's a deal. That's a deal. There you go, sir. That's your swagadiso. Drew, if you mind, please pack up the bag for him. Because, Mr. Black Hasselhoff, Mr. I Like to Gamble, it is time.
Time to gamble,
It is time to gamble, sir, because you can take all this wonderful swag home right now. It's all yours. Or you can take what's in the box. See right behind you, that red and white box over there? It's time, sir. You can take home the bag. Or we put the bag away. You don't get that stuff, and you take what's ever in the box.
I'm taking the bag.
He's taking the bag. All right. In the bag. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah.
Good job. That's all yours. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Here you go. Shut that off.
Yeah. There's a sock in that box.
You'll never know.
Never know. Never.
Unless you come back and you choose the box, then you find out what's inside the box.
But then if someone else thinks what's in the box, then something else is going to be in the box. Like I said, you'll never know.
They'll never know what's in the box. That's the point.
What's in the box. All right, there we go. Well, sir, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone, forget that yo radio. Check it out. Drew, thank you.
You're very welcome.
That is episode 115. We'll be back with episode 116 next week. And maybe a bonus episode this week. I don't know.
We'll see.
So, all right, we'll be back, guys. ChrisCrespo.com. Remember, support R-rated movies. Don't give your money to investment banks because they're the worst. Read more books, watch movies, and down with up.